winner of the 2020 Women's Money in the Bank ladder match, Asuka!
Indeed, an historic moment tonight for that woman, Asuka.
Joining us up top at the beginning of Chicken Necks every week is going to be my good friend, Billy Barty. Man, you guys want the news. You guys want the dirt. You're going to get it now, bro, with the great Billy Barty. Billy, what's going on, my friend?
Welcome, everyone, to The Wrestling Show. I'm Kev Manning, along with my good friend, Billy Barty. How are you, Billy?
Why are you saying it like that? That is the correct pronunciation.
Oh, is it now? Barty is the correct?
My friend Vince Russo asks me at the top of the show, he goes, I want to get your name right.
Yeah.
How do I say this? And I told him, because that is correct.
Get the fuck out of here. So I've been, everyone in the world has been calling you Barty, and that's wrong. Where's the R? I was going to call you out and say, you motherfucker, you didn't stop him in the beginning of the show and go, listen, Vince, I'm going to force you to say my name until you say it correctly. And I start thinking, is it because it's a New York accent? Is that what's going on? Because, you know, they can't say Martha. They say Marthra.
I've always, like, told people, they ask me how to pronounce it. I've always say, it's Bar, B-A-R, and then T. Like, so you'd pronounce it like Bart, and then with a Y at the end. That's what I would always tell people.
Spell
but
it.
It doesn't, but it, B-H-A-T-T-I.
Yeah, there ain't no fucking R in there.
Yeah, but there's no R in there, but it would make an R sound. Barty. So when you go bar, that's an R anyway.
Bar.
It's an R sound.
Body.
Yeah.
Body. Not body as in with a D, but Barty.
Barty.
You'll never convince me. You'll never convince me that Barty is correct.
He said to me, how do you spell it? How do you pronounce it? And I said, Billy Barty.
See, I think that's because of your English accent a little bit, and he says...
That's my accent, and in his accent, and that's what you...
Oh, that's a disaster waiting to happen altogether. I can't wait to be in between the two of you, because then you're going to get some shit going on. I wouldn't even let him get through the sentence before I would have stopped him and been like, listen...
But it is a pronunciation thing.
Totally.
It's an accent thing.
Yeah, that New York accent compared with English accent at the same time. Holy Jesus Christ, it's fucking great. And by the way, you watch Walking Dead at all?
No, I didn't.
You've never, like, watched that show? You're going to have to look up Negan, because Russo looks exactly like this guy. I was like, you've got to be kidding. He looks dead exactly right, like this guy, right on the money. So ask him next time if... anyone says he looks like Negan next time. But anyway, this is a wrestling recap show, and I'm Cab Manning. He's Billy Barty, and we're going to go through everything.
It sounds
that
right
happens.
When you say it like that. Like, that isn't... I've got no issue with that.
Yeah, Barty. That's the correct way to say it. I know how to pronounce your name, even though you might not, and Russo might not. I know how. So it's Barty, because I can enunciate things. So we're going to go through what happened on Money in the Bank, as well as the aftermath that happened on Raw. And I wanted you to sit back for a moment, Billy, because I wanted to have an open letter to Mr. Vince McMahon. I wanted to have something that we should send him for him to listen to. Something he should ponder over. Now, back in the day... he was our hero, correct, Billy? I don't know if you recall, but he invented wrestling. He invented what we understand as wrestling today, the sports entertainment. He came up with WrestleMania. I don't know if you've ever heard of that before. He came up with this. Maybe you recall Hogan slamming Andre back in the day. He had this whole show going on.
It's on again on Fox today.
Yes. So anybody who doesn't know this, could always take a look. So he invented this. He had great storyline. Him and Pat would sit at the pool back in the early, early days, and they came up with ideas. They said, how about twin referees? Blew everyone's fucking mind. I don't know if you remember that, Billy. There was two referees. They look alike. And then there was many moments. He built stars. Undertaker, greatest character in history. Hulk Hogan, the biggest name ever, followed by Austin, possibly still the greatest name ever, neck and neck, A1, AB, whatever you want to do. Now, he does all this, fantastic. And now we fast forward, I don't know, what would you say, 5 years ago? Probably a little bit longer, maybe. 5 years ago, till now, whatever. This product is the most horrific fucking garbage I've ever been a part of. And I feel like Princess Leia. I say, Billy Body, you're our only hope. Obi-Wan Body, you're our only hope. Because you need to get on the writing team. I'm fucking begging. But I don't think you would help. I don't think he would take any fucking proper ideas. Because obviously the writers have good ideas. He doesn't take them. He thinks he knows better. When the game has passed him by, and he is destroying his own product. We'll get into what a fucking mess Money in the Bank was, logically, where if this is supposed to be suspended disbelief, he's lost his fucking mind. Maybe that's his real life. Maybe this is what he sees in his head because he's fucking out of his mind. But I don't know if we have much longer to go with him after seeing him from Money in the Bank. It looked rough. You know, sometimes people say they hit the wall. He didn't see the wall was in front of him when he hit it. And it looked like he was chasing a car and the car stopped quickly. But this is, it's not just bad ideas. It's bad execution. It's the fact that, you know, these people have told him, listen, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't fit. For one, Oscar's in an elevator for 5 hours to get to another floor. I mean, it's easy shit.
You sound like Meltzer and Alvarez.
You couldn't miss it. I was talking to a guy at work today who doesn't really watch. He checks out shit on YouTube and he sees it.
See, it's interesting.
And he brought it up to me.
I sent you a clip because I wanted to criticize them for how much they broke this match down in terms of. My impression was they wanted to hate it from the beginning. They were saying, this isn't funny, and that isn't funny. And the thing is that has been my big issue with the entire week, has been social justice pricks. Again, we already had them in wrestling. This was one of the biggest things that put me off from being a wrestling fan, more so than anything that the product has done. In 2017, 2016, 2017, when we peaked and everybody was after our news and everybody knew our name, the negative side of that was that I was beginning to hate wrestling because I was associated with these people, and it was the fellow so-called journalists were the biggest pile of social justice pussies I have ever encountered in my life. And then after coming through that,
you're talking about Ryan Satin, correct?
Satin and among others.
Yeah, he's the leader. Go ahead.
And after coming through and enduring all of that and then trying to recuperate my interest, which was difficult because there was a point where some of us survived and some of us did not. Now, Nick, who's been a fan the same length of time as me, is pretty much the same age. He checked out and I stayed involved because I still had my son and we still bonded over it and I could still watch it through a different pair of eyes. And I'm also making money from this as well. Fast forward to now and doing this thing with Vince Russo and stuff, and I feel a little bit more tuned in and invigorated. But that's no thanks to my fellow colleagues. It's just good now to be sort of not just doing this podcast with you, but being in another team now where it's a group of guys that feel the same. Everybody on the show, it's Disco and Vince and Ben Hameen and Stevie Richards, and it's a lot of guys who
legitimacy. Who kind of feel,
who all feel the same way, who kind of call this ship as it is. They're not trying to get jobs again with the company. Mm-hmm. They all have better ideas. They are trying to see what's good, like we try to do. But it's not a case of, oh, this happened on Raw, and this, and the finish came at 11 minutes and 33 seconds.
Yeah.
And it's like, all these fucking podcasts, every single one is the same garbage. It's mm-hmm. like, it's not good, but we'll pretend and we'll just skate through and we'll talk about the matches at the Performance Center and we'll call all the moves and the finish and they'll tell you the time of the match and we'll go on to the next part like you didn't already fucking watch it.
Yeah.
Because the whole point is to analyze what is going on and how they could have improved upon it and analyzing why the fuck this product is in the state that it's at. But I wouldn't do it to the degree where I'm going in with a non-open mind, which is where Alvarez and Meltzer are at the moment, where you've got that dickhead Alvarez saying things like Mauro Ranallo's call of the Ciampa and Gargano match was terrible and JR did such a much better job when the match had no commentary.
That's the best. That's the best.
And in this instance, there's another clip this week where he said how stupid it was that Otis couldn't climb the ladder on SmackDown and he ends up winning Money in a Bank this weekend. Dickhead, he didn't fucking climb it.
You missed that part. You left that part out that he said he climbed the ladder afterwards. And you know, when listening to that, I was like, oh, that's a great point. I must have missed that when he climbed it. Because I'm like, I didn't remember seeing that. Maybe I'm an idiot. And now you say that and it never fucking happened.
They're out to hate. And the thing is, this is now the problem as well. You have podcasts who are in autopilot. And then you have the guys that just want to bring down the business. And the thing is that we don't just have it here. Mm-hmm. We have it in MMA at the weekend after sitting there and watching my business lose Patreon after Patreon after Patreon after Patreon after Patreon. And we get sports back and a few people have re-signed up to the website and one fucking guy tests negative or positive or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. He basically had the COVID. And these MMA journalists who work in MMA, whose job it is to cover the UFC, are there going, this is fucking disgusting. We need to cancel the event. They should cancel it. This is irresponsible. You fucking faggot pussies. You fucking cover this sport for a living. You are the biggest pile of pussies in media. I don't understand. You cover the toughest sport in the world and every single one of you couldn't fight your way out of a fucking paper bag. I don't understand why you want it to cancel. I don't understand why these guys want WWE to be embarrassed for going to Saudi, why they want WWE to not have any crowds, why they're criticizing WWE for not social distancing and all that. At the end of the day, if they had done all of this stuff, then what the fuck would you guys be sitting there doing? All your websites and your subscriptions and your content will be going down the toilet. What are you going to do? Go back and cover the Monday Night Wars on the WWE Network? Because I got a newsflash for you. You can't make money off doing that show. We already tried. So what the fuck are these guys going to do? And then we've got this tweet or whatever it was yesterday that Umar put in a group, Wade Keller going, why is a pregnant woman mixing with the foot of a bunch of people without masks and hugging each other? Tests aren't 100% accurate. People can be asymptomatic and still be contagious. Even if they're self-quarantining for 2 weeks, they just traveled to the arena from various parts of the country. I get a certain level of risk being taken to put us on a show, but a needless group of 10 to 12 people gathered around a pregnant woman after traveling from who knows where to congratulate her is not essential. This is poor judge. Fuck off.
Yeah, no like, shit. Honest,
what the fuck? Everybody is doing it now. Like, this is all of the journalism that they do. And you're the only person that isn't criticizing them. And he is the person who criticized every single thing they did to the point where Chris Jericho told him to go fuck himself is Ryan fucking Satin. Because all of a sudden, after not being okay with anything that they fucking did, from Saudi to anything else, now he has a job there. Ryan fucking Satin agrees with every single thing that they're doing. I can't understand how little journalistic integrity this fucking motherfucker has after everything he did and came at us for, oh, you can't say that about women. Oh, you can't say that about Rosie, Roman Reigns' brother. Oh, this guy, don't work with him. He made this comment. He made that comment. You fucking shill cunt. You weasel piece of shit. I would like to, honestly, I could not control myself if I was in a room alone with him. And I put this out right now. Anybody that covers MMA, the most brutal sport in the world, combat sport, I will fight anybody that covers wrestling or MMA. Literally, put your money where your mouth is now, because if you can't have a fight, don't cover a fight. You're all a bunch of fucking pussies. I don't care who it is that does it. Anyone that covers MMA or wrestling, fight me. Fight me. I want you to fucking fight me. Any place, I'm in the States 7 or 8 times a year, I will fucking fight you, you pussies. You should not be covering this. You should not be covering wrestling, and especially not MMA. You fucking make me sick. I could not fucking believe the bullshit that I was seeing this fucking weekend with all of these guys going, oh, you got to cancel. Oh, you got to cancel. You're so irresponsible, Dana. Dana's this and Dana's that. And oh my God, I'm so disgusted by the non-disclosure agreements. This is appalling. This is what you do. Just do something else. Just do something else, you fucking dickheads. If it's such a problem, he runs the main company. It's the same thing with Vince. If you don't like it, just do something else. I don't understand why you're trying to get it cancelled. This is so ridiculous why you don't want it to happen. I can understand criticizing the product. That's your job, by looking through and trying to make criticisms and trying to, section the positives and the negatives, etc. I understand what journalism is, but why are you trying to get it closed down? Explain that to me.
Well, I haven't been recording for the last 15 minutes. Did you say something? Just kidding. But tell us how you really feel, Billy.
But just explain that to me.
Of course. It makes...
Why do you not want it to happen? Why are they all trying to shit can it?
It's...
For years, they've had issues with how the media have covered wrestling and how WWE is ridiculed in the media and how nobody will take it seriously. They're the problem. They're the ones that are making their own job a joke. They're the ones that cover wrestling, and they're the ones that have to deal with people go, oh, you watch that shit. Oh, you write about that shit. Oh, is that a real job? And they're the ones that are shitting on it and they're trying to get it canned. I don't understand what's going on here.
Do you think they're trying to be, try to get more mainstream and try to, much as like Howard Stern gets away from what he used to do to make him famous, and now it's he can't say certain things because he wants to be accepted by the elite in the business and society, and wants to be part of the main group. Do you think that's the same? Because I think that's Satin is 100% trying to suck a dick to get into mainstream, and anything that's off color, he'll be like, look at me, I'm a social justice, and stand behind what's right, and look at me, I want to be part of everybody and be welcomed.
But I don't understand what the social justice part of it is, because the fact is that legally this shit's going ahead no matter what. These were the guys who cover this sport who are coming out and saying we're not essential. I remember that weekend where they determined that the WWE were essential.
Mm-hmm.
And the main people that were turning around, yes, obviously mainstream media were turning around and saying they're not essential. But you know who's joining in and saying they're not essential? The wrestling media. And the thing is that I've already dealt with this, and I've come to terms with the Satins and the fucking dickheads on the steel cage and heel versus heel by nature and all these fucking pussies, because at the end of the day, it's a fake sport and it's not real, and it possibly does encourage this kind of type of person who can't deal with a real fight, so he watches fake stuff and can't fight his way out of a paper bag, and you almost accept that it's going to bring in this kind of person, even though this was a product in its peak that told risque storylines that would have people losing babies and giving birth to hands and setting each other and fucking corpses, and this was all in its peak, in its fucking peak, this is what it does. And this could be the reason why these type of journalists and the way that it's covered, seeing as they're not even getting support from their own, in terms of if they do do a decent storyline or they do do something adult orientated, the only people that are going to support it are podcasts like this and the likes of Vince Russo and maybe the likes of Jim Cornette and all of these people who do real fucking content, who aren't fucking babies and pussies and social justice warriors and looking for some sort of pat on the back for this bullshit content that they do. And I try to always push AEW and the fact that they've got a transgender woman and we're not allowed to say about anything about it. And when JR makes a mistake and says something wrong about it, like, they have to like shit on him. And when Jerry Lawler says ramen noodle moonsault, he's a fucking racist. Not a fucking racist, is he? Is he a racist? No, I don't think that. I don't think that he's a racist. I still to this day don't think Hulk Hogan is a racist, and I will defend him too. I think Hogan was really the first time I really noticed where it doesn't matter the fact that you grew up with this guy and he's a big part of your childhood, and the fact is that he was part of building this company and he's the reason that that this all exists. There's no loyalty to him at all. There's zero loyalty. There was nobody in the wrestling media that was defending him at all. But I was just shocked in the last month to see that the UFC media were like this as well. In fact, they were worse. I don't understand how these sports or these forms of entertainment attract these kind of journalists. I don't see the correlation. I really don't understand how this has happened.
You know, if Hogan put an A at the end of the word instead of an R, I don't think it would have been a big deal either. I think the hard R fucking hurt him. It's 100% true, because Vince said, "What up, my nigga," to Booker T's face. But that was fine. And you know why I think it was fine, too, is he wasn't doing anything behind closed doors. He was being filmed. He knew he was being filmed. This was for broadcast. So it wasn't like, oh, you got caught saying it. This is meant to say, and it's obviously, you know, scripted fun humor, which I think in our lives, as we know, Billy, and on this show plenty of times, every race is open to fucking bashing and making fun and joking. And this is the way I still live my life. I don't care. Like, now I wonder if Satin is against, if you say the word retard. I love that that's a bad word, because you know what? The retards would gang up and go beat you up, I'm sure. Like, they would know what the hell's going on. That's why they're retards. So if retard's in trouble, and I want to know, how old is Satin? Because, and when did he get into this whole fake journalism shit for wrestling anyway? I laugh that it's journalism when it's wrestling, by the way.
In Steve Austin's peak, mm-hmm. right, when we didn't have these kind of journalists around, he beat up his ex-wife.
Yeah.
He beat up Deborah. He abandoned his two daughters. And he was barely written about. You had to dig around to find it. Can you imagine if he did that now? Let me tell you what would happen.
Oh, God.
Steve Austin would be taken off the top spot in the company. Yeah,
he would be blacklisted probably.
But the fact is that it happened. It didn't translate through to the fan base because there wasn't enough of these journalists to make a big deal of it. Obviously, there would have been some who were doing alternative journalism mm-hmm. at the time. But he wasn't able to be derailed because the company would rise above it. It's almost in a position where my only defense for them would be that they may be scared now to do proper storylines, because the fact is that they know that this media exists. And the thing is that the wrestling media has expanded to ESPN and Sports Illustrated mm-hmm. and all that. But the fact is that when they are looking for wrestling writers, they hire the biggest pussies as well. So you have these people that go, oh, I've been working for WrestleZone, or I've been working for Wrestling Inc., or I've been working for Ringside News for 5 years. And they go, yeah, that's cool. Fine. We don't give a shit about wrestling anyway. Mm-hmm. We have to cover it because our channels now air it. So it's a rolling effect where it's like pussy after pussy after pussy after pussy just comes in and keeps getting these jobs where they are the voices of wrestling, and it's a social justice warrior who's installed in every single company, from What Culture to ESPN to Sports Illustrated. And that's the thing, it's not people like Cornette or Russo or me or you that are doing these jobs, that have a voice. Like, people have to come and find us, and then we'll get criticized for making any jokes that we make or whatever. Whereas I noticed even now, like, in terms of since Derek has more closely aligned with these people, he can't be a pervert anymore and talk about wanting to fuck Lana, because I've noticed that that's gone right off the shows.
Yeah, I think he still oogles. I'm not sure, but you know, maybe he's sick of her at this point. But wasn't he? He was saying something on Twitter, something about he was all upset about when someone said, "Oh, now Lana's going to get fired too, just like Rusev," and he had a heart attack about it. But he's just playing his bullshit role at the same time. Do you think back in the day during Attitude Era, do you think Satin would have caused a stink about, oh, he would have clutched his pearls like an old lady, oh, heavens to Murgatroyd, from, remember when DX spray painted the Nation of Domination's locker room? I can't, if you look back, you go, that would never in a zillion years be able to happen today. But they did it back then. Do you remember what was in the locker room?
Yeah, like the watermelon and all that kind of stuff.
Spray painted a watermelon on the fucking wall. They wrote KFC with a cross through it. I mean, fucking Christ. I think one said go back to Africa or something. There was some crazy shit. But yeah. Would he have caused, you know, oh, let's all call the NAACP?
I just missed that time more so, not just in terms of the product and stuff, but just in terms of the fact that we didn't have this all over the place in terms of social media. Everybody is just telling on everybody. Like, that's it's just,
oh,
all,
yeah.
They're just not watching the product.
But they bow down to it. If Vince and them laughed it off and went, I don't give a fuck what they say, and go, get a fucking sense of humor, it would be over. That's the Stern school that I learned from, where everyone would bat, oh, you said this horrible thing, and he would go, oh, fucking get a sense of humor, it's comedy, and blow it off, and the reporters or whatever would feel like idiots. They would be like, I'm the asshole, because then it switches, the whole room switches on them, like, why do you got to be a fucking stick in the mud? It's fucking comedy. It's a fucking story. What are you crying about? And it flips, but when someone is criticized and they go into the defensive, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, I'll have a big apology, they have a wounded animal in the corner, and they will keep on, they smell blood. If you blow it off from get-go, it will end. You laugh at someone like that and go, give me a fucking break, and you continue on and do the same goddamn thing you did in the first place, and they won't fucking say shit. But when someone apologizes, you're fucked. I think even if Hogan said, oh, fucking calm down, give me a break, like, nobody ever says the fucking word. It's not like I fucking hate people. It would have been like, all right. You know, it would have been just pushed the fucking side. But it's, I'm going to go to counseling for saying something. Get the fuck out of here.
But that's what they make them do, because they don't rest until they have this kind
don't
of
don't do it. What are they going to make you do? Fuck off. I'm not doing shit. That's them going, I'm going to be, like, they get nervous. I'm going to be fucked up with society. No one's going to fucking talk to me. They're all going to fucking brand me as this. Fuck off. Just fucking blow it off. It will be done with. But because everyone likes to tear down the fucking big time. So that's what happens. Do you want to get into Money in the Bank? And do that review, and then get into what happened on Raw, and also allow me to suck you off a little bit on some predictions, by the way.
Yeah, that's fine.
So you accept the blowjob? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean that we swept our betting picks this weekend. That's good, because especially with the limited amount of betting that's around, when stuff is happening, you want to hit as much as you possibly can. We we started really well in UFC, but didn't get the main events. We just fucking gave all our profit back, which was frustrating. And there was some like bad points decisions as well, which really would have put us clear. But as I said, we made up for it all with Money in the Bank. We had Oscar. I didn't know about Lewis, but we knew Oscar was going to win, and parlayed together a few of those obvious title matches. Braun and Bray Wyatt was priced up as a 50-50, and
really, Jesus,
it was always going to be Braun winning the first one.
Yeah, but, I mean, especially since it was Bray himself.
Exactly. I like the pacing of the show in terms of, I'd bite your hand off for 2.5 hour pay per views.
No shit. How about that? Pay per view was shorter than fucking Raw.
Just automatically made it feel better. I mean, I thought they were going to give the Money in the Bank match an hour, and I was like nestling in. I was barely watching the first 10 minutes. I had to rewatch it, in fact, because I hadn't concentrated that much at all at the start, thinking, all right, it's going to be an hour, and they're going to like, it's going to be like Edge and Orton like flying on the floor, flying in the gym for ages, and thought they're really going to draw it out. I've never in a million years expecting that pay per view to finish at 2 hours and 25 minutes, whatever it was.
It gave me a chance, because it was done so quickly, to watch the show afterwards. Did you stay to watch Save the Last Ride afterwards?
Save the Last Ride.
I'm glad that one didn't sneak past you.
It didn't sound right. On the other show, it sounds right.
But. Save the Last Dance, as Billy likes to call it, which I was laughing listening to you on Russo when you were saying that, because it was before me and you talked. Too. You said it before me and you talked, where I corrected you. So you recorded that show before ours.
Yeah, that's so fucking
yeah,
bad.
You were doing it, and he didn't correct you either on it. So
he's watching it too. So
yeah. So the issues that were odd, there was quite a few, where Meltzer and Alvarez were, you know, yelling about everything. There are a few things I do appreciate. I do, for one, enjoy getting to see the offices. I never seen the inside of, you know, all those different, like we've seen Vince's office or whatever, but we haven't seen everything. So getting to see the office, I was intrigued by seeing some of that stuff. And I thought some of that shit's cool, like the statues of Andre right there. And there's like a cage on the wall, shit like that. That's very cool. I enjoyed the brother love. I don't care what people say. I enjoy it. I giggle. It tickles me when I see, like, you know, callbacks to old shit. I go, look, it's fucking brother love.
Austin didn't even know who he is, and he laughed just because there's a weird guy in the toilet. That's just funny.
The one I had the problem with was Doink, because he's not Doink, and he didn't even look close to, like, the outfit wasn't even correct. I was like, what the fuck is this? And it was like for nothing. It was just, let's have a character in the place that has a name, but it's rough when it's not actually the person. They could have brought back some old people if they wanted to do that kind of shit. They could have had Honky Tonk Man walking through. That I wasn't thrilled with. Right off the bat, like they said about Asuka going in the elevator, that was very noticeable. That she's like, oh, she was the smart one. She's going to use the fucking elevator and get to the top in 2 seconds. And it was 15 minutes before she got to fucking the second floor. That was disturbing. And the thing is, like I said, a friend of mine watches wrestling so rarely to where he checks things out on YouTube. He'll check out clips. I go, did you watch this weekend? And he's like, oh, I saw something on YouTube. It was fucking weird. This girl dove off the top of the fucking office and then went in an elevator, but it took her a fucking hour to get to the next floor. And I'm like, this is a casual, it doesn't even know who the people are. And he catches that. That's the bad shit.
Okay.
What did you find right off the bat? And you know what? It didn't even occur to me when Corbin threw the weight at the mirror and broke it that he was worried about bad luck. That never even slightly occurred to me. To me, it looked like, oh, fuck, I'm in trouble. I broke the fucking mirror in the gym, and I'm going to get yelled at because I broke something.
Wow. Okay, that's
That's what I thought.
Well, that's a big oversight then, because I don't know.
Didn't even think about the bad luck with Amir. I just said, "Oh fuck, you broke, you damaged the company, fucking property."
Yeah, no, I caught that one straight away.
Yeah,
that was going to be the case. What did you ask me? What do I like, or what did I think?
Yeah. I mean, go through what do you think was retarded right off the bat? Because that's always what you want to go for first.
Okay, well, I mean, we're done with the other matches, are we?
Yeah, I don't even think there was anything. I mean, can you remember any others that were worth? Let's talk about the ending.
I like the ending of the Drew match.
I'll tell you what, whoever, if they gathered together, I want to give kudos to Drew and Seth for coming up with that ending, because wouldn't you agree with me that what they came up with was absolutely perfect way to end that match?
Yeah, it was very ICW. It was very much
like that back, forth, back, boom, done, where it was going for the stomp, kicking them off of it, into the headbutt, bouncing off the ropes, to go for a Claymore, getting kicked with a super kick, bouncing back off the ropes again into a Claymore to end it, which was good. I didn't understand the handshake part afterwards. That threw me off. I was like, this is a good guy move already. I don't get it.
I still don't think I get it after watching Raw either.
Yeah, they didn't seal that up. I mean, I would assume just on Raw, he just looked like he was disheveled and dismayed and, like, lost. And I don't know if it had to do with the pregnancy storyline that we'll get to. Storyline plus real life, obviously. That, by the way, if you sign up to Billy's site, what is it, Billy, your site?
TheDirtySheets.com.
He would have had all this information for you, because I was told before Raw started that Becky was pregnant and she was going to hand over the belt to Asuka, which means why the fuck did they have any money in the bank? And this is well before this was ever put out.
Oh, you were told before I even wrote it, actually. I think you were told at your time would have been about 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Earlier, but yeah, about 12 p.m. for you would have been.
Yeah,
you were at work.
Yeah, it was in the middle of the day, and I told a couple friends. I said, "Watch this one tonight," and like I got a message later, like right before Raw, from somebody, and he said, "Hey, I hear Becky's pregnant. That's the rumor going around." And I go, "Yeah, and this is what's going to happen. Boom, boom, boom." So I felt like a big man. I got to tell. I was like, I go, Billy's already on that. He told me this afternoon. So.
Oh yeah, we had it out before everybody. There was nobody. I mean, Saturn was about 5-10 minutes after us. He had something came out saying that Becky's got a big announcement tonight, and people were tweeting me going, "Oh, you weren't." Someone was tweeting me goes, "Oh, you weren't that early." Wrestling Sheet basically said it at the same time as you. I went there. It said Becky Lynch is expected to make a big announcement tonight. How the fuck is that story? I specifically said she's pregnant and she's vacating the title tonight. She's giving up the belt. How is that the same as she has an announcement on Raw?
Doesn't he do that? Doesn't he do the thing to where he's posted many times, like one of those things to where if anything happens, he could take credit? Because he says he doesn't want to spoil something, so he doesn't say what it is, but just leaves it out in the air like he knows something. Doesn't he do that?
So basically, the process was me giving out the whole story. 5 minutes later, he had the fact that she was going to make an announcement. 10 minutes later, WWE changed it to she's going to make an announcement.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the thing is, throughout the day, I had another story come through, which was also right, and I didn't bother with it because I just wanted to be picked up for this one. And I mean, first of all, I knew about the start of the brand extension because it was so funny. Like a few weeks ago, we were doing a show where we were talking about, I will go back to Money in the Bank, the match, but just while we're off subject, a few weeks ago, we we did a show saying about how the wild card rule was one of the dumbest things ever, and how that put that year into the top five because of two out of three more falls matches in the wild card rule.
Top five garbage.
We're back into the wild card rule again. Like, I mean, I just don't understand.
Yeah, because Corbin's coming next week.
I mean, and it's going to be every week. It's going to be Raw guys on SmackDown. It's now going to be called. They've changed it to the brand to brand invitational, right?
God.
But that's the new name for it, and apparently it's going to be done less. But it is all building towards cuts and no-house shows and people appearing, working twice a week, and phasing out this brand extension for the last time. I mean, it's got to be. I mean, that is our story. That's our story in itself, and it ties in with a podcast that we did a few weeks ago. So I thought that was all interesting, but that wasn't the story either. The story I got during the day is that Randy Orton and Edge have been talking to each other through the week and came to TV and had decided amongst themselves that they weren't going to have a match on Raw because they just said, this is stupid. There's no build up. This is the story that, this is our idea, and this is the story that we want to tell, and we'll build to it. And they got the green light, and that is 100% right, because last week the WWE clearly said Edge versus Orton. They said Edge is hunting Orton, and then Edge actually came on TV and said, I don't know who, and he even started a stop at a promo. He actually even gave you a hint as to what happened backstage, because Edge started his promo on Raw by saying, I don't know who's running the marketing here, but he goes, I'm not hunting Orton, because I already beat him. Did you remember the start?
Yes,
promo?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was true to what they actually said, because Edge knew he was on TV this week and he saw the advert and he contacted Orton, and Orton said, I agree. I don't want to do the match either with no build for no reason. And they turned up to TV and they were supposed to wrestle in the main event, and they ended up talking in the main event, and they had that change by themselves. That was the story I had, but I didn't run it because I was the only person with Becky, and I didn't want to be like, you know, oversaturating people. Because, and the thing is, when I did that, I had some people turn around to me, and this is when you're in a no-win situation. I was like going, I tweeted Russo, and I was like, I said, once it was after it was right, I said, funny how like Dave didn't have this or like the Oscar story yesterday, and I put the two pictures on it. Someone messaged me saying that the reliable sites probably don't want to spoil people, and they probably especially wanted Becky to announce it for herself.
I started thinking that Satin would go, that's not my place to tell about her pregnancy. This is very special. She should get to tell.
Yeah. It's
the first thing I thought. He wants to be, oh, congratulations, Becky. I did not want to take your thunder. I won't be one of those people. I want you to tell everybody. It's your place.
Well, okay. Maybe that's one thing. But the fact that this person thinks that maybe the reliable sites didn't want to spoil people and maybe they wanted Becky to be able to tell people herself. If they knew that story, they would have ran with it 100%.
Because that's their business. That's how they even became a fucking business, is telling.
These people are actually of the belief that these sites don't leak spoilers, even though they do leak spoilers when they have them, but they only selectively don't leak spoilers. They actually think that these sites and Meltzer and all these people had things like the Mania results and didn't leak them for our enjoyment. They don't give a fuck about you, and they don't give a fuck about the WWE. They have spent more energy in the last 6 to 8 weeks trying to get the shows cancelled and criticizing them for carrying on with coronavirus, even though it would have meant they'd have nothing to do. This is a show that has throughout the whole time said, just fucking carry on, but just don't keep putting out this dog shit. We've come up with a million ideas for them to do something else other than continue to wrestle and wrestle and wrestle. Not at one point have we ever come to show, me, you, Nick, Umar, whoever, or even in a group, and said, let's just take it off TV. Because it's not even realistic. Yeah, I think that they would benefit from the break, as because they've never ever had one, and if the content is this bad, you're actually going to reach a point where you put people off, and I think it's detrimental to them to carry on if they're going to continue to put people off, because it's almost like, you know, when they turn around and say, "Oh, I don't want to watch, I don't want to see this wrestler." It's like when The Undertaker's in a documentary saying, "Oh, I don't want to be a parody of myself. I don't want to embarrass myself." Well, this is the whole thing. They're embarrassing themselves from being the whole place with the great music and the great packages and all the lights, cameras, action. And they're the people that revolutionized this sport and took it worldwide. And every the whole spectacle of WrestleMania was 75% production. Because in the first 10 years, I beg you to find me a match that still stays in your WrestleMania top five. Even Steamboat Savage. That's not going to stand the test of time.
Yeah.
It was all production. It was all fucking smoke and mirrors and celebrities and video packages. And it was a nice product. Like, and to see it turned out like this, and then for them to not do any storylines either. You've got no stories. You've got just long match after long match after long match. It just doesn't... It's just sad to see. And if that's what you are going to do, then you should take a break. But at not one point have I said, just take a break automatically. There's no way to make this work. That's absolutely not what I believe or what anyone believes. I just think that with the old man just ain't got it no more. He just ain't got it to know what to put on. He just can't. He just doesn't know what to put on. And the thing is that anything that has worked out well hasn't really involved him. Like these cinematic matches that are all came from the brain of like Matt Hardy, they've all been fine. Money in the Bank was fine. Did it have inconsistencies? Yeah, it had inconsistencies because, as you said, Oscar took ages to go up the ladder. But in terms of the elevators or lift, or what do you call it?
Elevator.
All right, I got it. It's a lift for us. But but in terms of stuff like where we're referring to Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez complaining that, oh, they lied. They lied. I've been in that building. They didn't really start at the bottom. Who cares? Like the bottom floor is just a reception, and I believe that's where the Andre statue is. Did we see the Andre statue still?
I did. I saw that in Flair.
Okay, but the thing is, when I visited that place, like that stuff's at the bottom floor. On the bottom floor,
mm-hmm.
And always the newest pay-per-view poster is always like they always replace it. So the newest pay-per-view poster is always at the front.
Yeah,
and those Andre and the Flair statue and whatnot is in the reception area. But aside from that, I don't know where the gym is based. But apparently, that's not the bottom floor. Obviously, it wouldn't be. I mean, the bottom floor is obviously going to be reception. So they voided reception, but Meltzer's problem was they started on the third floor.
Yeah, meanwhile, they're all together, so what's the fucking advantage?
Then he's complaining about who's in the building in terms of going, whoa, why aren't these guys at the show? Why are these guys not at the performance center? And looking for all of these continuity mistakes and whatnot, as opposed to just turning around and going, did I actually enjoy this throughout in terms of was I entertained by this for 25 minutes? And I think if you weren't entertained by it for 25 minutes, then I think you should just stop watching it, because there's no way that this was boring to anybody. Nobody could have been bored by this match.
No, it wasn't a bore. It was more of
did you ever problem? Okay, you got a girlfriend now.
Yeah.
And was your problem, did you have a problem of like, I wouldn't like to watch this with her because she'd be like, So where does this fit? Because we always talk about this, and because we are wrestling fans that are able to speak to women, unlike some. But so in our girlfriendometer sort of chart.
Yeah.
Where would this rank in terms of what we often discuss in terms of you back in the day it used to be, oh, your parents walk in and it'd be like, what's this kind of shit, or your friends from school that don't watch it or whatever. So now it's obviously your girlfriend or wife or whatever. So
I would say middle of the road. It wasn't douche chill stuff that more for wrestling fans. You would see the stupid shit if you were a wrestling fan. If you're just casual watching it, I don't think that would be as much of what the fuck is this, because it's just people you know, fighting in the fucking offices. So I don't see where that would be the embarrassing part. It's if you're concentrated and people are getting thrown off the building, shit like that, that you would go, what the fuck is this? But I did get the whole throwing off the building thing beforehand. Like, that wasn't a big deal for me, because when they showed it from above, you could see that there was the second roof. It's still quite the fucking fall, but it wasn't to the streets.
I'm not even fucking taking that from, because the thing is that, yeah, it's a second ball, but the thing is that that mat, if you, I don't know, if you overshot it or didn't stick into the crash mat or whatever, then you could roll off the bit. I just couldn't even be that close to the edge of the building.
Oh, I didn't think it was that close at all, because it looked like the edges were way the fuck out. Like, on certain sides, they were way fucking far. So, and I'm like, oh, they got a big giant crash pad on the other side. Who gives a shit? You know, that wasn't freaking me out at all. But
still, I'm not jumping off one level of the building to another level of the building, and then that level can take me off the side, even if it's 20. I mean, okay, it's 20 feet away. I can see that it, maybe it's 20 feet, and, you know, it'd be impossible to even jump off if you were trying. But why do I want to be up there? Like, because at least on the first part of the roof, I don't get to look down. This part of the roof, when you're hitting that crash mat and you land on the mat and you walk off or whatever, you're on the roof.
Yeah.
Like, you're on the edge, of the building.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to, I'm too queasy and afraid of heights to be anywhere near there. I don't even think I'd want to be in the match.
Yeah, the going on the ladder part would have been the fucked up part for me. I wouldn't have been comfortable with that, because I would have felt like, even though, obviously, by, you know, angles, you're not going to fall off the roof if you fall off the ladder, but from that height, it could look like you're going to just go right off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it'll fuck your head up more than anything else. The only thing I find good about the no audience thing is certain things they can enhance because of the movie type of shit. Like, when Rollins is trying to kill Mysterio and stick the corner of the fucking stairs in his eyes, right? If this is in front of an audience, they can't do the part where, okay, they switch cameras and now go back to Ray and his eyes bleeding. They can't do that. They can sneakily, I guess, but it makes it a lot easier this way.
Do you think this all like goes away though when the crowds are back?
I would say 95% of it. I would say they just can do as they've been doing, as in backstage. I don't think there will be. I think it will be blue moon between Boneyard matches. I don't think that will be something that is normal to see. Not saying just Boneyard, but, you know, that type. Like even Money in the Bank. I don't think they will. I think this is, we got to figure out a way to get through this. And then after that, forget it. Even if it's great. Because I think they can take pieces from the things they've done that are very good and still incorporate them and learn from things and say, well, this is just extra stuff I have in my repertoire now. But the way, I can't count on Vince anymore. I just can't count on him coming up with things and getting out of his own way. I think if he just sat back and said, Triple H, you take over and I'll fucking watch for 3 months. You show me what you could do. He can't do it. And I think the product would be better because, like I always say, look at what NXT looks like compared. And it keeps your interest with what they do. And the other stuff doesn't. It's because Trips is in charge of that shit.
I just don't see it happening in terms of we are not getting NXT people being used correctly, where he's worked with them and probably has to fight for all of them.
Yeah.
And this, we get this kind of booking of Shayna and all and just whoever comes up. I mean, look at the state of Nakamura.
Well, there's a basketball fucking game on Raw. And you know what's funny is, on one hand, you would go, well, this is what Billy's idea was. Have something different in the third hour. Well, this is a bit, you know, there's, you could do something different. Don't make it terrible. I didn't tell you to make it fucking terrible.
I don't even have a problem with a basketball game because there's no basketball going on. But the thing that I have a problem with is how it was executed in terms of we let you win and then they can like do all the shot. I mean, all the shots and all that. But it's just that's stupid. Like, why does anyone let anybody win? For what was the reasoning behind them letting them? I mean, letting them win.
It's everything's not illogical that they do. It seems everything.
It's not like they're children.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like I let my child win. So the storyline there would have been that the Viking Raiders are getting pissed off and they raise the stakes.
Yeah, like pool sharks. Yeah,
yeah, they're losing and they say, all right, so how about we raise the stakes?
We get a title shot if we win. Otherwise, we'll never get one again. You know.
I think that would have been excessive because they're probably owed a title shot from winning anyway. But I think they should have played for some money or whatever. But yeah, I mean the story, even without raising the stakes, the story is that they improve slowly. They don't know what they're doing in the first quarter, and they start to get better and better and better. And then in the fourth, by the fourth quarter, they turn around a 20-point lead or whatever. That's what you do, obviously.
It's let me hear what you think is going to happen with the Otis, since he won the Money Bank, which was a shock, a total shock.
I don't think he becomes the champion because that just doesn't make any sense. I think we're going to move on to Bray Wyatt, and he should get the title for a while because that whole Goldberg thing was a debacle, and he shouldn't have been losing it to Roman anyway when that was the original plan. They ended up swapping out Bray and Goldberg to just crown Roman anyway, and Roman decided he didn't want to be there. So I would say he's either going to get screwed by Mandy at some point, or he's going to waste it on the tag titles, which will be terrible. And it also means that now Money in the Bank just means you can challenge for
any time.
Or
I just
got to
hear what they say again when they say what it's for. Like, I think we need to listen up on Friday, and then we're going to get a clue the way they word what it does, you know?
Yeah, you're right. That's probably going to be a definite clue. The wording is going to be essential. I mean, that's the thing. Prior to that, they were saying things about the Money in the Bank, and you notice that changed over the weeks from Becky will be confronting the Money in the Bank winner to, which made it obvious it was going to be someone on Raw. But they did that on purpose because it was going to be someone on Raw. But then through the draft, Oscar could go over to SmackDown. They knew Oscar had won before they knew Becky had been pregnant. So that belt was never inside the briefcase, really.
Oh, I love that. That's what it was supposed to be. The belt was actually in it. Oscar never opened that fucking briefcase either, right?
No, she didn't have the combination. Oh yeah, basically. So when did Becky's reign end? That's another thing. In terms of, they put a tweet out saying that she broke the record for the longest run, but if she gave it up before Money in the Bank. Oh, I suppose, obviously, it wasn't at the taping
day. It's the handing over of the belt because it wasn't declared, and she didn't have any match or anything like that. So,
why am I even bothering?
Yeah, I know. What are you coming up with, real logic? What are you out of your fucking mind? My thought and choice is that Otis loses the briefcase to Dolph, even though it's Dolph, and you know we've seen this story before. He keeps beating Ziggler and always beats him. So now is the time that he gets, outsmarted, because it is real weird to have Otis with the briefcase. I mean, talk about a push already. Guy's a tag guy. People love him so much, they're like, fuck it, give him the briefcase? That's some wild shit.
How do they know, though? He hasn't been in front of any crowds.
Well, I mean, beforehand. And as we heard, what they do is, you know, go to Twitter. What's trending? And they see how everybody loves Otis. I mean, I love Otis. I think he's entertaining as hell.
That's fucking stupid if that's what they do.
Yeah, that's what I said, because that's what I said to you when we text. I was like, so Dolph gets this from him, right? And you said, I think it's going to be more so the tag belts. And I'm like, really? And I said, well, I guess that is possible too. Fuck, I didn't even think about that, because, I mean, it'd be something different if you want to look at it that way. You go, okay, well, we've never seen that before. They'd run in. It would be the first time they ever tried to, you know, run in and cash in. They wouldn't stop because it would ruin the surprise. So if they show up during a tag match, then they're winning it right then. They're not going to have two chances.
You don't think, like, that they would do that, that Mandy would cash in his briefcase on a woman?
Oh, does he give it to her? Does it count if you hand it over? That's Million Dollar Man style with Andre. That's very possible. You know what, too, is, yeah, I guess it would only work that way with Bayley, because I'm thinking if Sonya got the belt, that's the way to do it, too. Sonya gets the belt, and then she gets fucked over by Mandy because he's like, oh, now I'm going to fuck you up, you know? But you got to go from Bayley first, so.
I tell you what would be good if, like, this is really, like, far out. If he ended up cashing it in on Bray Wyatt, but he was cost the belt, he was cost the match by Sonya, and she's, what was that woman? Abigail.
Uh-huh. Sister Agatha.
That's way too far out.
I say Otis tells Mandy, all right, I'll give you the briefcase for oral. Fair exchange.
If he was, that was his girlfriend, then wouldn't he be getting it anyway?
Yeah, I don't know. She kisses him on the cheek. Like, she's waiting. He's a gentleman.
That's the stuff. That's the kind of shit that I hate too. Like the whole, he kisses him on the cheek and he gets all like excited about it. Like, why are we still doing that?
Yeah, like he's a fucking in high school almost.
Yeah. I hate that kind of shit. There's so much cringy stuff on TV throughout. It's littered with it. There's stuff like that. There's the whole stuff with Byron when they were talking about the basketball match.
When he made the shot. Oh, I wanted to kill myself.
Just watch this guy on TV. Just watch his.
Just stare at him while everything else is going on. When they talk.
He's fucking unbearable. He's unbearable.
It's true. It's real bad. I saw out of the corner of my head, he pretended to shoot the ball. Oh my fucking God. There's never been a fucking goofier white guy than Byron Saxon.
I can't understand why he needs to be on the show.
I'm shocked. Wasn't he gone? And they brought him back?
Well, Lawler's gone too, and he's not coming back. So it's fucking weird. I don't understand what goes through their mind. I don't understand how he's essential, not even just during these times, but why you need this third person there. The other two would be able to make this work absolutely fine.
Yeah, Joe and what's his name, Phillips? I think they do great. And Joe should just stick to commentary so he doesn't hurt himself.
I think he'll come back again.
Oh, I'm sure he will. But, I mean, Jesus Christ. I've never seen somebody get so injured. I feel bad for the guy. It's like, obviously it's not like he's trying to get fucking hurt, but fucking sneezes and it hurt himself.
So I mean, summarizing it all, like, as we get to this point, it's been a decent week, I think, for us in terms of what we in terms of news wise, it's been a decent week. In terms of if you said to me last week, you would be correct about two major stories.
Mm-hmm.
You would watch the Money in the Bank. And you'd be entertained by the main event. It's a 2.5 hour pay-per-view, and that's what we're at getting into this situation. Then I would take that. And the thing is that of the Raws so far, this one was the least boring one in the Performance Center.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still completely done with it. I still felt it even had too much wrestling. And they are now trying to break it up. So far, I would say they are like 0-2 for things that they've tried to do outside of the building, which has been Lashley's tires and the basketball match. But prior to that, they did have the promos outside with Undertaker in the graveyard. I don't know if that counts. I don't know if I put that on my scoreboard in terms of an attempt to do something outside of the arena. I think they were doing better before WrestleMania, but I think here, these last two attempts, they're on. It's the right thing to do, but the ideas have been, and the execution has been shit.
Yeah, it's like they know what they should do and they can't get out of the way.
The tire thing should never have been, look at me lift my tire. It should have just been, he's doing the tire. Or she should have been doing the talking for him.
Yeah, she could have been narrating the whole time. Look at what he could do. Look at this man, fucking strong as hell, flipping this fucking
tire. He's going to be with MVP now anyway.
Thank God. And you know what? Talk about, hey, Lana, we're going to give you a little screen time. And fucking let's see you overact like no fucking tomorrow. Oh, my God. She drives me out of my fucking mind. How dare you? Because he said, I would like to manage him one day. You should look out. Screaming, how dare you? Oh, she just wants real attention in real life. And she bothers the fuck out of me.
She don't get it. I just don't think that she gets it.
I don't either.
I just don't think that she has.
And she has a good job because she's good looking.
Not even ridiculously so.
No, she used to be better, but yeah. So, shall we close out the show? We gave people a little more than an hour today, and where they could find you, actually, to follow up on some of your thoughts here, because I know you're on this show. You know, we touch on a lot of things, but you go into depth more of explanations on Russo's show.
Yeah, like the Russo show is mainly a news show where we will go into the stories and then we'll sort of evaluate what's going to come next out of them. I think the main thing that we'll be speculating about with this situation is, when did they know about Becky? When did she know about it?
Mm-hmm.
Was she trying? Was she not trying? If she was trying...
No way she was trying.
Should she have told him she was trying and dropped the belt to Shayna? Or did she knowingly take the win knowing that she was trying? It's a lot of questions up in the air, which will depend on whether there is or isn't heat on her for this situation. I would think no. I think, like, if there is heat,
it's secret heat.
Time's always the heat. Yeah, time's always the healer.
Mm-hmm.
And usually when a guy is there, like when Sammy comes back, obviously he's going to be stripped of the title quite soon.
Yeah.
And Friday. When he comes back, he's never getting that back.
Yeah, and exactly.
And he's going to be jobbed out. We saw Miz being jobbed out for the whole thing with Roman and being sick and losing the belts and all that. But I think she may be able to, with this situation, get far enough away from it. And by the time she comes back, they'll just be thankful, because they're always needing somebody. This company hasn't booked itself properly in the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
So you can't afford to be mad at stars when they want to come back. When Roman comes back, I bet they're mad at him.
I guarantee you.
Yeah, they're probably like mad as hell. But when he comes back, can you afford to not push him? There's no way you can afford to not push him.
Yeah, they can't make him be a fucking jobber. All that time, forget it.
The people that are already established are guaranteed to come in and get their pushback. Just the funny thing is, at the moment, is that just to close up here, if you're looking at any poster, program, chairs, all this fucking shit that they've made, that they have on everything, Roman and Becky's face would have been at the center of everything. They have to fucking reprint and redesign and redo everything, mm-hmm. from their program to their websites to any generic kind of collage and poster that they stick out. They're going to have to redo everything. Drew and Charlotte, I think, are going to be, and Bray, I think they will be the people that you see on everything. I would think that.
And the picture on the chair will be Drew with a big smile. Like they show him on fucking Raw every fucking week with a big smile.
Well, one thing I was going to ask you, this is not related to anything that we've discussed.
Sure.
Can Natalia not have kids?
No, it's just that she's old. I think that's all it comes down to. She's fucking getting near 40, so they just do that. And she's still wrestling, so she ain't looking to have kids. I think she said in the past she don't want any kids anyway.
I thought Shayna said to her, "We all know you. We all know the Hart Dynasty dies with you."
Yeah, it's like she's not. No, just that she's old and not going to have any.
So she doesn't have a problem.
No, I don't believe this.
You're 100% sure about that?
I am pretty 100% sure. Yeah,
because the way it was said, it was like that we're supposed to know that she can't have any.
No, the way I got it was that she was old. When meanwhile, she's whatever, 35, 36, 37.
Because the commentators were all like, oh my, that's despicable. But it's not despicable if it's just because she's old.
I don't know. That's a problem for women, because then it's, oh, you're too old to have any, you know, and then it's a sore spot because maybe she wanted it and it was just terrible timing and her career got in the way. You know, it's all that kind of shit.
Hold on. So you're telling me that if I want another kid, I need to specifically start targeting these 30s or unders.
Oh, you got to go under 30, I think. I think you got to go around 27.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know this.
Yeah, I think so. I think nowadays people are okay with 30, 32. But I think once you're hitting 35, that might actually get you quicker, because if they're around 35 and don't have any, they're going to want to have that shit immediately. So if you get them around the time that they're at the end, then you could have a little baby retard. Just like Becky's going to have a little baby Gonzalez. What's fucking old Colby's last name? Is it Gonzalez? What the fuck is it? It's some Mexican shit, right?
Who's Colby?
You don't know who Colby is?
No.
It's fucking Seth Rollins. What's wrong with you?
Seth Rollins' first name is Colby.
Yeah. And he's Mexican. It's like fucking Gonzalez or some shit.
I thought he's... Hold on a second.
Were you looking for Tyler Black?
No, I know. It's not fucking... I'm not a fucking moron.
Yeah, he's a fucking Mexican guy.
Let's check this out before we close out.
That's funny. Colby Rollins.
Hold on. They're not married yet.
Oh, no.
When are they getting... It says here there's a story of when they're going to get married.
Colby Lopez. There you go.
No. He doesn't look like a Mexican.
No, he doesn't. But yeah, I think he's like half or something. But yeah. Oh, Colby Lopez. I like Colby Gonzalez better. So they'll have a giant Gonzalez and a baby Gonzalez.
She found out she's pregnant in April. She's having it in December.
Jeez.
When are they getting married? Supposed to marry this month, but they postponed it due to coronavirus. So they're not going to get married while she's pregnant. That would be stupid.
That'd be great. Shotgun style. He'll raise a little Bears fan. That's all.
Colby Gonzalez, yeah.
Yeah. Colby Lopez.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Colby Lopez.
I prefer Gonzalez, though. I heard Colby Gonzalez was watching Save the Last Dance.
I'm not even
All right, where can we find all your nonsense to look you up? Your website and your Twitter. What do we got?
Okay, the only Twitter I'm really using is the Lock Betting one. So it's at Lock Betting. I would make a lot of sense to open up a Twitter again for Dirty Sheets, but yeah, it'll just be deleted by these morons that we talked about so much on the show today.
Worth giving a try. Why not?
Yeah. Otherwise, you'll find me at thedirtysheets.com or dirtysheets.net. Lockbetting.com is up and running again now with UFC and soccer back, Belarusian football, Germany's back at the weekend, Premier League on June 1st. And otherwise, I'm at russobrand.com doing Vince Russo's show every week. And Derek Monty is still on Steel Cage if you want to listen to his shit.
If you're looking for a sleeping aid, then you want to go listen to Derek Monty. Otherwise, you could hear all of my nonsense at Lingus Mafia. Wait, go ahead.
Can you promote your stuff in Derek's voice?
Oh, one of these kind of things. If you want to go see all Cab Manning's things, you know, since he's a horrible human being, go to at Lingus Mafia. That's where you'll find him. Or you can go to patreon.com/LingusMafia. You know, between beating off to Lana, you could go watch all Cavs bullshit. Thank you. Thank you. Fucking Derek Montilla is a horse tooth jackass. Just remember that, everyone. Like, they finish their show and say, remember, kids, Derek Montilla is a horse tooth jackass. Like, Billy wants to fight everyone else. I still can't wait to meet Derek and buy him a fucking ice cream cone. I can't wait. It's going to be such a glorious time.
I would fight any of these guys that cover MMA. I would still put that out. That's completely legit. Obviously, I don't want to go up to them and just punch them in the face.
No, you can't. No.
Because they're going to go to the police.
Yeah, you'll get arrested. That's why I want to go buy Derek an ice cream. He can't say I'm threatening him at all because I'm offering to buy him an ice cream cone.
There should be some sort of like wrestling journalist rumble.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Every at WrestleCon.
You'd be in there trying to fight people while they're popping zits.
I just want to get my hands on Saturn.
All right. Bad. I'm going to help you out and end the show now. I'm Cab Manning. He's Billy Body. We're out of time.